This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. My guest today is Dr. David Levine, who's been a chiropractic physician for more than two decades. His emphasis is chronic and severe pain. And during his time, he has treated more than 100 former and active NFL and NBA players, as well as Hall of Famers, including Rick Barry and Earl the Pearl Monroe, and world champion boxers such as Leon Spinks and Zab Judah. He's also a jazz vocalist, soon to release his debut album. I'd like to welcome to the show Dr. David Levine. Great to have you here.
Thank you, Doug. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, your work has been featured in the Huffington Post, New York Jets pregame show, ESPN, and various boxing publications. I want to start off, though, with Knicks great Earl Monroe. You see his jersey behind me here, a former guest on Sports Jam. You and I have similar stories regarding Earl the Pearl. When I was a youngster, I used to play puff basketball, and they call it Nerf basketball now, in the basement, and pretend I was making all those fancy moves like Earl Monroe, Walt Frazier, and the rest of the great Knicks squad that won the NBA championship. You did something similar when it came to Earl the Pearl, didn't you?
I used to actually practice his spin move in my driveway. He was, as a child growing up, him and Walt Frazier were my two idols. And I used to revere the Knicks. I watched the two 1970s championships. They were really epitomized New York. They were the ultimate cool. My treatment actually works very quickly, you know, treating chronic severe pain and tractable pain. And someone recommended to me, a sports aficionado, why don't you get involved with professional sports? Because if you could help expedite the turnaround time of injury, it could be invaluable. So I ended up calling the NBA Retired Players Association, who's headquartered in New York. And I said, if any of the former players are having any, you know, chronic pain, I'd be happy to come down there and demonstrate what I do. So strangely enough, they told me that one of the players from the former New York Knicks was having chronic shoulder pain, and he agreed to meet with me. So I ended up going down to their headquarters, very exciting to me, and I met with this player, former player. He was about 6'10", 6'11", very intimidating looking, and his arms were crossed, almost like, how are you possibly going to help me? And I think he had like a rotator cuff issue. So I said, listen, I can't promise anything, but I'd be willing to take a look at it. So I examined him, found the epicenter of his pain and discomfort, ended up treating him. His pain level was a 10, and it went down to about a 2 in under 10 minutes. And the guy was like, he couldn't believe what just happened. He started calling other former players around the country, and then he called the COO, chief operating officer, to come into the room, and he explained to her what happened. And she said to me right off, she just instantly said, we want to work with you. We have our annual event coming up. We'd like to have you available for our former players, and we'd like to have you speak at our event. Maybe on pain, chronic pain. So I agreed. They said, the first thing we need to do, though, is get approval from our board of directors. On the board of directors was Rick Barry, various Hall of Famers, and Earl Monroe. And they had to actually approve me to become part of the organization at the time. And so I was waiting. They said it could take, you know, a couple of weeks or whatever. So I kept calling back, and I was like, you know, did they vote? You know, what happened? And I called back one day, and they said, yeah, you know, Earl Monroe was just talking about you. And I said, Earl Monroe used my name in a sentence. I was so in awe of him, you know, and apparently he was having some pain issues. So ultimately, they voted me on, and I ended up going to their annual event. And there were a couple of hundred former players, I believe. The night before I went, I watched a documentary on him. And I get there, and I'm going to my room, going to the elevator. And who walks on to the elevator with me? Earl the Pearl Monroe. And I said to him, I saw, you know, the documentary on you, unbelievable. And I am so honored to be here and so honored to meet you. And, you know, he said, thank you. That means so much to me.
New York led by 21 points here tonight. Los Angeles fought back to trail by only two in the final quarter. Monroe, nice shot by Earl the Pearl.
So anyway, the next day, I start helping some of the players. And then later that day, I was brought in to do a lecture on pain, chronic pain. And, you know, players started coming in and sitting down, and I started my presentation, and the doors opened about 10 minutes later, and Earl Monroe walks in, and he literally came to see me because I got one of his friends out of pain. I think it was Bob Love. I don't remember him.
Oh, sure.
From the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's actually on my site, there's a video of him because he basically was limping. He had a marked limp for 2 weeks. He was having a knee issue. And I ended up treating him. And within, again, 15 minutes, he stood up and his limp was gone. His pain was gone. And he went to Earl Monroe and he told him what happened. So Earl came in to see me based on that. And I literally had to pinch myself and thought I was dreaming.
Well, you know, your Earl Monroe story, you would have, if you ever get another chance to talk to him, you can talk about jazz because he's a huge jazz fan and was great friends with Miles Davis. And they would go to boxing events together. They would go to, jazz clubs together. So that's for another. And we'll talk about your music in a little bit. But, Rick Barry, you mentioned Rick Barry. I remember getting a chance to kind of hang around him when I was a PA announcer for the USBL's New Jersey Shorecats. And he was the head basketball coach, the former NBA great Rick Barry, in Asbury Park coaching the New Jersey Shorecats. You also have some stories about Rick Barry and him actually saving you a seat.
Basically, when I was in high school, my dream was to be like, I idolized like the, you know, these guys on the seniors in high school. And they were like, they wore their, the basketball players would wear their jackets on Friday, you know, in preparation for the game. And they were like idolized and stuff. And my dream was to be like one of these basketball players, you know, on a varsity team. So I tried out for the freshman team and I was taking the ball up the court. They put me in. I was basically, you know, keeping the bench warm. And they said, all right, let's put him in. And I was a guard. And so I'm taking the ball up the court. I was so nervous and I was having such performance anxiety that I was literally shaking. And I looked at the bench of our team and the other team, and they were literally laughing. I mean, it was like, you know, so embarrassing. And one of the coaches, I think, felt bad for me. And he's like, I saw him later the next day and he goes, I think you have the ability to become a real true basketball star. And to this day, like, I was like, thank God he said that because otherwise my self-esteem would have been completely, you know, shot. So anyway, so fast forward, I'm at the Retired Players Association and Rick Barry's there. And he keeps noticing me helping all these players. So the team is going to a charity event to treat deaf children with hearing aids so they'd be hearing for the first time. And they actually asked me to come with them. So I was on the bus with all these players, and Rick Barry gets on the bus, and he's, you know, Rick Barry's like revered by, you know, all these other players. So he gets on the bus and he says, does everyone see Dr. Levine? And I'm sitting by myself. And they said, yeah. And he says, no one sits next to him. That seat is reserved for me. And he sits next to me, like, because he's got all this pain stuff going on. and he wants to talk to me. And all I'm thinking is, like, I couldn't even get the ball up the court when I was a freshman because I was shaking so much and I was being laughed at. And how ironic is this? And what an interesting turn of events that I'm sitting with one of the top players in NBA history and he wants to sit next to me so I could help him.
Money back to live action. Seats underneath ML Carr. He missed the shot and Clifford Ray with a rebound. It's 3-on-3. Rick Barry trying to bring it up. Goes in, tries to get the foul, doesn't do it, but tips it in. Rick Barry, following on the play, just beat Bob Lanier.
Well, Rick Barry was going to pass that ball, and he could not make the pass, so he was. He puts it up on the board and followed up the shot.
It's a great story, and it leads me to my next story about you and your encounters with so many legendary players and how you have helped them. Champion boxer Zab Judah calls you Miracle Hands. And he has a video talking about what you've done for him. Do you want to just give us a brief explanation of what you did for Zab?
Met with Zab. Zab Judah's trainer called me. I ended up meeting with them back in Las Vegas, and his trainer called me and asked if they could meet with me prior to his fight at the Barclays Center. He was dealing with pretty severe elbow pain, and his doctor's trainers and cortisone shots could not get him out of pain. So I ended up meeting with him at the hotel, his hotel with his entourage. And I ended up treating him in about 30 minutes. Not only was the pain gone, but the swelling was gone in his elbow. And he basically said to me, in 18 years as a professional fighter, I've never seen anything like this in the world, but you just did.
And thus he calls you Miracle Hands. Now you have also been treating and been a chiropractic physician to an NFL player for the last 5 seasons and has treated him prior to almost every game. For confidentiality's sake, we'll keep him out of this show. But can you tell us about how that relationship developed with that player?
Yes. So he actually he just got traded to the New York Jets and he was, I guess, flying in and he was, he heard about me and asked to have a meeting with me. And he was dealing with chronic knee and foot pain. And at that point, his pain was significant. The prior season, he had a rough season. The team wasn't doing well. That in combination with the chronic pain he was in, he was demoralized and was considering retiring from the NFL. And then we ended up meeting. And this is prior to training camp, and his pain was a 10 in his knee and his foot. And I ended up treating him, and I took his pain down to a 1 or a 2 in his knee and his foot on the first visit. And he was blown away. He said to me that he wanted to book me through training camp. This is after the visit. And so I ended up working with him through training camp. And he basically played with minimal or no pain. And then as a result of that, he ended up booking me for the season on the team that he was on. And he played with, again, minimal or no pain. And this is somebody that was literally limping on the field the previous season. And he actually became, as a result, well, by his own admission, he was an off-the-radar player in the NFL. That season, me working with him, he became the Associated Press most indispensable player on the team, and he became the ESPN non-quarterback MVP of this team as well. He ended up getting traded. They didn't re-sign him. I guess there was a money issue, but they didn't re-sign him. He got traded to another team, and I got kind of depressed because we had such an incredible relationship and such synergy. And but then I got, maybe a couple of months before the season started, I got a text from him, and it said, would you consider flying out to, you know, the other place where he was playing, the other team? And I did, and the first visit at the team hotel, he said to me, you were monumental for my career. And he ended up signing a really incredible deal with this team. Ultimately, I ended up working with him for the next five seasons and treated him basically prior to every game. And he became a five-time All-Pro and two-time Pro Bowler. And his career has basically skyrocketed.
That has to be so special for you to know that you have had that impact on, you know, some of the best athletes around. But you also, briefly want to talk about it, you also have donated your time and expertise to U.S. military individuals who have returned from Iraq and Afghanistan with post-war injuries, as well as individuals in homeless shelters enduring chronic pain. So you love giving back, don't you, Dr. Levine?
Yes. Yeah, I feel like, you know, I love what I do. I feel like I've become very good at what I do. And I think what's unique also about what I do is the speed at which this works. You know, it basically treats head-to-toe pain. It's non-invasive. It's non-drug. And it's very fast acting. So very often on the first visit with a patient, I can help begin to turn their pain around. And what it does is it provides hope. And because a lot of these chronic pain patients have lost hope. So my mission and purpose in life basically is to help alleviate human pain and suffering. And this is the vehicle at which I am able to do that. And I really am grateful and very proud of, you know, what I'm able to do.
That's your mission, but another one of your passions is singing. You're a jazz vocalist, as we mentioned at the top, contemporary jazz vocalist, soon to be releasing your upcoming debut album, I Will Wait For You. The album encompasses popular jazz standards and is part of WBGO's ASAP program.
If it takes forever, I will wait for you. For a thousand summers, I will wait for you till you're back beside me, till I'm holding you, till I hear you sigh here in my arms. Anywhere you wander, anywhere you go, every day remember how I love you so. In your heart believe what in my heart I know, that forevermore I'll wait for you. The clock will tick away the hours one by one, and then the time will come when all the waiting's done. The time when you return and find me here and run straight to my waiting arms. If it takes forever, I will wait for you. For a thousand summers, I will wait for you till you're here beside me, till I'm holding you and forevermore sharing our love.
You began singing in the Catskills as a teenager. Take us back then.
So I started playing professionally when I was 17 years old. I was a singing drummer, and we landed a gig. The first gig that we had was in the Catskill Mountains at the Neverly Resort Country Club, which was one of the premier, you know, resorts in the Catskill Mountains at the time. It was a spectacularly beautiful hotel. And we basically lived there for 3 months out of the year. We were treated as guests and were able to work with some of the greatest jazz musicians that would come up there for the summer. And so both personally and professionally, it was an incredible experience and basically gave me the ability that I have now, you know, as a vocalist and also as a a singer, as a drummer and vocalist of jazz standards. So I did that, ended up doing that for 7 seasons. So it was an incredible experience. I mean, you know, working with some of the top acts in show business, people like Tony Bennett and Sammy Davis Jr. and Wayne Newton and Stephen Eady, and like just every weekend there was a headliner. And, you know, my band played in the nightclub, and it was just a great experience, and got to meet all these incredible headliners.
Fast forward, now you're still singing. You took a little break, and then you got back into singing, and now you have this new album. Briefly, what do you want to tell us about I Will Wait For You?
So it's basically a jazz standards album, and interestingly, I'm singing the same songs that I sang when I was like 18 years old. And, you know, they're very popular jazz standards. Tunes like All of Me, I Will Wait For You, So Embraceable You, More, and many others.
All of me, why not take all of me? Can't you see that I'm no good without you? Take my lips, I want to lose them. Take my arms, I'll never use them. 'Cause your goodbyes left me with eyes that cry. How can I go on living without you, babe? You took the part that once was my heart. So why not take all of me?
I like to ask these type of questions, Dr. Levine, so I'm going to ask you the same type of question here. You can go back in time. Go back in the Wayback Machine. What singer would you like to see perform and why?
To be honest with you, there's a few. I would definitely say Sinatra. They called him, even though he couldn't read a note, they said that he had like Mozartian, you know, musical capability. His phrasing and his command of a song and his confidence was just, I don't think there was really anybody like him. And they say that he was really the greatest singer of our time, you know, in terms of the, you know, Great American Songbook. So I would say, and also he just exuded this incredible charisma. And yeah, so I would say Sinatra.
That's a good one to pick. And I would say that one of the people that probably you would love to have in the audience when you perform live, if you're going to perform live at, you know, after this album, would like to have Earl Monroe probably sitting in the front row and enjoying some jazz tunes. Dr. David Levine, the chiropractic physician, is joining us here on Sports Gen, has been our guest. He has helped a lot of professional athletes get back, you know, and it really says something about how difficult it is to be a professional athlete these days. We hear about injuries all the time, and that, and then retired players too, both men and women having to deal with, you know, chronic pain. It's tough being an athlete. That's why they get paid the big bucks. Sometimes we forget about, you know, a short career could cost these athletes, you know, a lot when it comes to their physical health. Dr. David Levine, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Jam, and continued success with both being a chiropractic physician and being a jazz singer.
Thank you, Doug. I really appreciate it.
Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can hear all the past shows by going to WBGO.org/SportsJam or WBGO.org/studios. You can also find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.